Time, and we heard a little bit of a recap and some testimonies from the recent missions trip that our youth group and some other folks in our church made down to the country of Nicaragua, and we're going to hear some more follow-up from that tonight. Even got some special pictures and video, because I know some of you like pictures and video, and that way you can pay attention in church some, but I'm just kidding, but we'll even have some of that special footage from our recent trip. I'm going to ask Brother Matt Pounce to come up here this time. He's our youth pastor, and he's going to MC it a little bit for us tonight, maybe hear a few more testimonies, and maybe even, there's actually more stuff they didn't tell us Sunday night that actually happened on this trip, so he's going to get us caught up to speed. Come on, Brother Matt.
All right, thank you, Pastor. Danielle and Rena and Nick could make their way up here. We heard from some of the older teenagers Sunday night, and well, we didn't hear from Nick. He was trying to duck out. He's kind of a little shy, but I told him to be ready tonight. And we had some adults that went with us. Christine Duez, that does the sign language down here, and her son Richard went with us. They flew down before us and stayed in the hotel and went out with us, and every time we saw her, she was handing out tracts and witnessing, and I think she must have won probably 30 or 40 people to the Lord, and it was exciting to see, and we appreciated them going. That was a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be down there with us. But I'm going to ask, I'll finish off with our teens. I'm going to ask Nick DeLore if he can come up and speak in the mic real good and give a word of testimony. Come on, Nick.
Well, I went to Nicaragua expecting it to be a couple of poor people, you know, not so many, but anyways, like, so we got off the plane and we came out of the airport, and first thing you see is about 10, 15 kids trying to help you take your luggage and put it in the van just to make a couple bucks, or actually for them it'd be like a couple, like, nickel or dime or something. And one of the places we went to was the garbage dump, which is like a huge pile of just trash from the whole city, and you see hundreds and hundreds of people trying to find food or something to recycle to make more money or something to find a meal for the day. And one of the most, like, things that happened to me that was, like, most touching to me was when we're handing out clothes at the orphanage, and we handed out, like a shirt to someone, and then, like, in less than, like, 10 seconds, you'd have about, like, 50 people surrounding you, like, just trying to get something to, some clothes, and it was really crazy. Having, like, people, like, going crazy over something simple like clothes. It was very touching. It's something I'll never forget. And that was my trip.
Good job, Nick. He's not used to speaking in front of folks, but I appreciate him. He sure is used to tackling them. You ought to see him on the football field. He's a tough cookie, but appreciate him coming up. And I think all of our teens, I know all of our teens were different when they came back. And once again, I can't say it enough how much I appreciate those that helped send them. And we thank you very much. And I just thank God every day for just the simplest things after seeing what we saw and the things we experienced. And some of the ladies came with us, and we appreciated them so very much. Danielle Beerley is one of our teachers in the day school, and she loves the young people. She comes and teen soul winning with us every Wednesday, and the kids love her too. And so she came with us, and I think she fell in love with Nicaragua. And she didn't want to come back, But I said, we got to go, you know. I got a bed to sleep in at home. But anyway, Danielle, you come on and give a word of testimony.
All right, now we'll get through this without crying. First of all, I'd like to thank Brother Matt for allowing me the opportunity to go as a chaperone. It really did change my life. It's so different. You know, I love America. I love our country. I love everything that we have here. God has richly blessed us. But down there, it's just a different place. One of the things that really touched my heart about being down there is the spiritual hunger that the people have. You know, we went out soul winning today, and I heard from some of the teenagers how people started yelling at them when we knocked on their door just to hand them a simple track. Or people say, no, I don't want that, and they'll slam the door in your face. But everywhere we went, we were handing out tracks. We would stop at a gas station to get water or to get minutes for the phone, and we'd start handing out tracks, and everybody took it. Nobody just shoved it in their pocket. They took it right there, and they opened it, and they started reading it. And that just, it amazed me. And two of the experiences that really touched my heart were on Wednesday. We went out into the mountains, and we held a service in the yard of a house there. And the people from the church would load up chairs, and we would take them out there. And we're in the middle of this yard, and we're talking to some of the kids that were already there, and all of a sudden somebody's like, Danielle, look, Miss Beardley, look. And I turn around, and there's about five or six teachers from a public school leading about 30 or 40 of the kids, the little kids from the public school, down to this meeting. And they brought them from the school to come sit down and hear what we had to teach them and allowed them to take part in that. And that's just, it was so amazing to me. And then to go out in Los Barrios, what you call the ghetto, on Thursday when we went to the children's home, we all met there, and then we broke up into different groups, and they put a few of us that could speak Spanish with different groups, and we went out inviting people, and like they said, 45 minutes, and we came back, and I was talking to Brother Mojica, and we were talking about how, you know, we'd be glad just to have 30 or 40 that would show up. We weren't sure how many would come. We set up a few of those boards across some cinder blocks, and we're thinking 30 or 40 will be really good. And we turn around, and all of a sudden there's some people walking up the road, and there's a lady who hired a wagon to bring her, and people riding bikes. And at the end of the day, there were over 300 people there, and it was so amazing. But two of the things that I want to talk about that the teens didn't get to talk about were the heart of the people there. To me, it was touching to go to a different country, where there's a different culture and a different language, and see a church that's doing the same exact thing we are, you know, who are out there, you know, day by day out in the streets, you know, soul winning and telling people about the Lord and doing their best to win others to Christ. And that was just amazing to me. They're such a sweet people. But the other thing was the teenagers. This is where I'll probably start crying. I'm so proud of our teens. And I've talked to one of the pastors down there. His name was Pastor Jorge, and his wife was Miss Doris. And I've talked to them both of them on Facebook since we've gotten back, and they are still talking about our teens and what a blessing they were. And to see some of our teenagers leave that day that we were at the children's home, to leave without shoes on their feet because they gave it to the people there because they saw the need, was just so amazing to me. And I know that another time, Brother Donnie, I don't think he mentioned this, but when we were leaving on Saturday, a man in the airport just randomly walked up to Brother Donahue and was asking about our group and where we were from. And he says, you know, I've watched your teenagers and their attitude. They have a great attitude and they're very respectful. And so I just want to be able to bring that report back that we really honestly do have some of the best teenagers in the world, and they have a heart for the things of God. And so thank you to all of those who have prayed for us and who gave for the kids to go. Like I said, their lives were changed and my lives were changed, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't think we can say that enough about our young people and the testimony that they left. And Pastor Jorge had mentioned, pulled us aside and mentioned that, you know, we've had some groups down before and we can't have them anymore because of their dress standards and, or, you know, different things like that. And he said, but you're our stripe. And we appreciate you so very much. We appreciate your teenagers. And not just the standards. They really appreciated that, but they also appreciated their attitude and just their willingness, you know, when we'd call random teens up to sing at any moment. And the girls know what I'm talking about. When, come on, you three, let's sing, or you four, let's sing. And they got right up and they sang. They had about 4 seconds practice time. And they got up and did a wonderful job. You'll see some of that on the video. One of our moms went with us, Rena Roberts. I guess it's because three of her daughters went, and she wanted to keep an eye on them. And, of course, Grandpa and Grandma were there, too. But we appreciated her so very much. and she was a big help and a big encouragement to the young ladies. So, Raina, you come on and give a word of testimony.
Okay. Whew, I don't know how my girls get up here and sing. This is nerve-wracking. Okay, Windows No Chess. Good evening. To be honest, I had mixed emotions about coming on this trip to Nicaragua, you know, and leaving Tony with taking care of our three little ones here and to be Mr. Mom for the rest of the week. Plus, I heard different stories about people, you know, about Nicaragua, like, don't drink the water, you'll get sick, and wear your hair up a lot because you might catch lice. And so, and then if you have like really expensive jewelry, leave it behind, you know, leave it at home. So I was really scared because, you know, they said your finger, if they wanted your ring, they would cut your finger off. So that really scared me there. But my parents and Tony really encouraged me to go. And Tony said it would be good for me. It would soften my heart, so that I should go. So I know my girls wanted to go, and that was fine with me if they wanted to go, but I was too scared to go. But since they encouraged me and with lots and lots of prayer, I decided to go. But there are so many stories that I would love to share with you and I could share with you, but it would take all night. So I'll just say a few. But one of them was, Monday night, we got to Nicaragua really late that night. And on Tuesday, we need to exchange out our money for their money. And while we're heading up the mountain on Tuesday to, you know, have a service up there with all the children, and in the streets, when you stop at a light or just in traffic alone, there's children coming up to your windows trying to sell you stuff and for you to buy. Well, there are little kids who are willing to, you know, try and buy, you know, sell stuff just to make some money. And I heard through the pastor's wife that if a lot of the parents make their kids go on the streets to sell things, and if they came home and they didn't bring enough money home with them, they would beat them. So they have an organization that goes around that makes sure kids aren't getting abusive, like I guess HRS here. Make sure kids don't get abused here in the States. So, you know, that was kind of touching and sad to hear about that. But like here in the States, you have people sitting outside a road to holding up a sign saying, feed me, you know. But they're willing to make stuff to earn money. They're willing to sell stuff just to make money, even the littlest kids. But we gave Mexico our money so we can exchange all the money for their money so we can buy stuff from the kids or even give them money. And I just assumed that we were going to go to the bank. But I'm sitting in the back of this van with the older girls and Ruth Ann on top of my lap. I mean, we were all squished like sardines in that bus. And so I couldn't see where we were going, but I had a side window. And we pulled over on the side of the busy street, and but Mojica gets out, and he waves to these men to come over. And I'm peeking out the side of my window, and these Spanish guys are coming to the van. I thought something was wrong with the van. And one of the men pulls out a stack of money, you know, and I thought, oh my horse, we're gonna get mugged or robbed, or there's gonna be a shootout, you know. I can see a police coming and arresting Brother Mojica. So he gets in the van safely, and he says, this is the way we have to do it, because if you go to a convenience store, they will charge you a lot of money. So that was scary. If you can imagine, like New York City, I don't know if you've ever gone to New York City, but times in it by three. It's crazy over there. I have a heart and burning over there from seeing it. I don't think I could live there in the city. I would feel safer in the mountains, but then I would be worried about the volcano. So, I mean, I wouldn't know where to live. So, I mean, I have a burning for them, but I would have to find someplace really sheltered to keep it safe. So, I told myself that when I get back home, that I am not going to complain about living in Haines City again. So, But the churches that we went to, I mean, they weren't big and fancy. They didn't even have a roof on their on top, you know, and they didn't have fancy pews and air conditioning. And a lot of times we complain that it's freezing cold in here, or it's too hot, you know, and or the song leader sings 2 to 3 verses, you know, leads us on singing. There, the people are happy. They don't have much, but yet you couldn't tell on their faces. Amen. I mean, they were singing out every song they sung, which was quite a few. They were singing every verse, 4 to 5 verses. But it was beautiful just to sit back and to listen to them to sing and to sing with joy in their heart, you know, and that they were thanking God for what they do have, which is not much, but they were still praising God for it. It showed me that you can worship God anywhere, really, anywhere, at any time, at any place, and God still hears you, and He's still there. I was pretty much the photographer for the week, so I took a lot of the pictures, and I got to stand back and watch my girls, which was a blessing, and your teenagers just hugging and loving on all your children, on those poor children. And that was a blessing to me. In our church, we do. We have a lot of teenagers, but we not just a lot of teenagers, we have a lot of good teenagers. And you should have something to be proud of and blessed of. If you have a teenager, you know, pray for them. Pray for our teenagers, because they're gonna be our next generation of leadership, but also they're gonna be our next generation of missionaries. And I am so excited to see how God is going to use each and every one of these teenagers. And I'd like to thank Pastor Carter and Pastor Stephen, Pastor and Brother Pouts, and you church family, all who gave and who prayed and supported and had faith and trust in Brother Donahue, my dad, to be able to take your kids out of this country to see Nicaragua. Now I see why my parents have such a burden. Nicaragua. Okay, I am so glad I went, and it did just what Tony said it would do. It softened my heart for those people in Nicaragua, and they need your help, they need your love, they need your prayers, but most of all, they need the Word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Rena. That was good. A couple of people wanted us to leave their teens there, but we didn't. We brought them all back. And no, I'm just kidding. Some of the moms and dads met him at the airport after we got out of customs, 2.5 hours. Praise the Lord. I'm not complaining. I'm not going to complain anymore. But while we were there, of course, we took a bazillion pictures, and we did some videos. And if I could get some help with the lights, if the guys could get the screen ready. Miss Carolyn Lee stayed up very, very late last night and early this morning. And oh yeah, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, one other thing before we get to the movie, the church that we were at on, I believe, Thursday, Brother Jorge's church, 3/4 of the church. On Saturdays, the buses don't run. You ought to see the buses, preacher. The buses don't run real well on Saturdays. And their church, almost their whole church, walked almost 2 hours to the airport and ran the last, oh, I think 30 minutes so they could say goodbye to us. Sweet folks. Sweet folks. Love the Lord. Got a lot of poverty, but man, what a heart for God they have. And this is, I want to say thank you to Mrs. Lee for putting this together. This is the video that, and pictures that she put together.
Turning back, no turning back. In this city, though, say, Pastor Mojica, soy mi nacionalidad, soy nacido en Puerto Rico, la Tierra Santa, el país de...
¡Amén!
Estamos trabajando ahí en...
¡Amén!
¡Amén!
On his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Many of the Jewish children that were carried away,
muchos de los jóvenes judíos que fueron llevados cautivo,
rather than starve,
en vez de morir de hambre,
went ahead and ate the food that they weren't supposed to.
Comieron la comida que ellos no debían comer.
With the exception of,
con la excepción de,
Daniel.
Jesus.
Touches you. Very proud of our young folks, proud of Brother Donahue and Brother Matt and Brother Mahegan, and those that made the trip possible. Generally on Wednesday night we have a Bible study or message, but thought we'd finish off what we started Sunday night. You heard in the testimony Sunday night, and you heard tonight where they said it changed their life. I believe that the folks that made the trip will never forget it. Caused a lot of our young folks, and I wish, truthfully, I wish we all could go and get the same experience and the same Holy Spirit would speak to us the same way. Trouble with this old flesh is that it don't last. But I believe with these that made the trip, especially these young people, from time to time they'll remember there's a part of the world where this is still going on. We were there, we saw, we felt, and we left, but it's still going on. And I think it'll cause a lot of them, and it should cause a lot of us Americans, to think on our childhood and growing up. Now, some of you had it rough, some of you had it better, but most likely very few of us had it as rough as they have it down there. And so much to take, that we take for granted, that we ought to be thankful for. And I could tell a great spirit Sunday night with our teen and with our whole church as they got to see the experience. That's why we asked for it to be done tonight. We appreciate Sister Lee working so hard and doing such a good job on taking, just putting those pictures together and presenting a message that we got tonight. Our emphasis last Sunday and this Sunday, of course, is on the extra ketchup offering. A big part is the mission board right over here. We got to keep outreach going. We got to keep missionaries supplied. We've got to keep getting the gospel around the world. And finances is part of it. We have to face it. You can put up a good talk, but as we preach Sunday, where our treasure is, our heart will be also. And I think we felt a little heart in that. And we appreciate it, Brother Matt, with the teens, and Brother Donahue. Most of you understand, I hope, that Landmark has a pretty far outreach when it comes to missions and works. And some of those works go right out of our church. We got our own people over in Romania that was called right out of this church. We've got them in other places doing the job. And Brother Donahue and Brother Mahiga have gone down there pioneering this work now in Nicaragua. And am I right there where you put up cinder blocks and boards? That's a piece of property that Brother Mahiga was able to get, and so we're building a children's home right down in there, Brother Terry. Right, children's home. So folks, when you look on the back of our bulletin on a Sunday and you see where we're spotlighting this missionary or that mission project or something else, sometimes I hate to say it, but we'd have a service here on Sunday where it looks like we just came and sang and preached and nothing good happened. But something good somewhere else that we've had a part in is happening, even when we seem to strike out here. And we ought to keep that in mind, that our outreach is just not what happens on Sunday morning in this auditorium, but it's a great outreach. And it's because of our people giving, and giving and going. That's what it's about, and that's basically what the Great Commission is about. And I want to encourage you, let's keep on praying, let's keep on giving, let's keep on seeing the need, and praying for God to bless in the harvest. Amen. Get a chance, shake hands with some of these teenagers that went, and the chaperones. Let them know you appreciate it. I'm sure it was a physically hard week. I think they got back in here about 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. Well, they had an excuse for sleeping. Some of the rest of you didn't, but it was all joking aside. Let them know you appreciate it and the good job they did down there. And we do appreciate it. And I say that to all the folks that went. All right, let's stand. I'm sure Brother Cruz wants choir practice as we get ready for Sunday. And I guess it was Rena said something a while ago in her testimony about somebody complaining it's too hot in the auditorium, it's too cold in the auditorium, it's blah, blah, blah. Y'all ought to be quiet at least for a couple of weeks on that. Amen. And there ought not be any whining about coming up for choir practice tonight either. Amen. Getting ready for Sunday. Thank God for what we got around here. Amen. Father, we